Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez, and I am happy to have you back.
Dude, it is good to be back. It's been like 6 weeks, I think.
Wow.
I've been gallivanting around the world telling people about Visual Studio 2010.
And I have been as well-adjusted as I've ever been at this job, but I'm sure it won't last.
Time to shake things up.
Now, you got stuck in Europe.
I did. If you would have told me, like, a few months ago that I would be stuck in England because of a volcano, I would have thought that you were smoking something. But yeah, I got stuck because of the volcano that I can't pronounce, and spent an extra 5 days longer than planned in London.
And a lot of Visual Studio people did too, right? It was Jason Zander.
All of our top brass. So Jeff Beeler, Jeff Beeler, Jason Zander, Brian Harry, and of course myself. So yeah.
The four horsemen of Visual Studios. Unpaid intern to
exactly
partner level mofo.
And congratulations to Jason Zander, just became a corporate vice president.
Are we allowed to say that? Is that?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Okay. Good. Well, it was good working with you.
No,
glad you came back for the one show.
Yeah.
Windows Phone 7, starting it off.
Yes.
Big refresh here.
Yes. So, actually, Charlie Kendall, who is also stuck in London. Yes.
It's like a veritable who's who.
It really is. A new version of the SDK, if you will. Are they calling it an SDK?
Yeah.
A development kit? New version of that available. Works with Visual Studio 2010 RTM, so you don't have to be stuck in the RC.
I can finally upgrade.
You can finally upgrade. And some API simplification. What else?
Some of the things around the accelerometer that were kind of just ugly in terms of the API, the default.default, because they had some stuff, or just, you know, it's a lot easier to read out values. And there's more the pickers, choosers. There's a lot more detail on some of the team's blogs, and definitely watch Charlie's video and stabilization and some other bugs and stuff like that.
Okay.
But cool. It is a CTP. Which brings us to our next point. So Tim Heuer, friend of the show. Not really, but he hates us. He hates us, but no. Enemy of the show.
Don't
That's
spread
how we
these
need
rumors.
To,
yes.
This is how we need to introduce it. Tim Heuer, enemy of the show. Tim's a good guy. He actually was doing Channel 9 Live, but I am rat holing. We are going to focus, and we're going to bring him out, by the way. Do you have yours?
Oh, no, not with me.
Okay, I have mine. The installation gotchas and blend tools. So if you're installing this tool, one of the things you may run into is, and I hope I get this exactly right in terms of the language, AuthentiCode signed assemblies fail to load.
Okay.
And there's a PowerShell script that you can run to fix this issue. You got to make sure to install, you know, things in a certain order, make sure that you're on the right version of the RC, but there's a number of things in Tim's post that you should go through, and if you hit that error, here's the instructions for running the PowerShell script.
Okay.
And in addition is the blend RC, making sure that you're on the right version of the blend RC. Actually, Christian Shoreman has the exact version number you need to be on, and then some tools to update the blend RC so that you can actually use it with the DevTools. You need to install DevTools first and then blend 4RC to get blend support for phone apps.
Wow. Okay, so if I'm not using blend, I don't need to care about this? Or some of what you just said applies even if I'm not using blend?
It absolutely applies if you're not using blend. It's
okay.
Just the DevTool. It's the Visual Studio / platform part of the Windows Phone.
Okay, got it.
So there's a lot of stuff there. Just basically review Tim's post and you should be fine and dandy.
Okay, sounds good. So actually, Steve Ballmer is down in South America right now, and
he was in Colombia for a while.
Colombia, see,
I know.
So we just announced or just released a new version of Windows Live. All the Windows Live tools. This is Wave 4. So you may remember
the last one.
We haven't
released.
Oh, we haven't released.
These are previews, to be clear.
Well, that's what I meant. We've released a preview. You didn't let me finish.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying because people would be like, "All right, I want to play with this now," and we don't.
Well,
have
I understand that. You didn't let me.
Unless you're
why.
Inside.
Maybe
unless
next
you're
time.
A Microsoft employee.
Oh, and then it's officially released.
No, then you can actually get access to it.
I know. You didn't let me finish. So good to be back. So anyway, we're talking about some stuff related to Windows Live Messenger. What does that mean for developers? Oh, you're going to pull it out, huh?
I'm just going to keep them because I think we may need them for...
Nobody knows what you're talking about. Stay tuned. That's some foreshadowing. So what does that mean for developers?
Yeah, so cool stuff. Check out Larry's video if you want to see kind of the key features that they're adding.
Mm-hmm.
So the news is, in terms of developers, something called Messenger Connect. And the idea is to simplify all these different APIs that we've had for accessing, for embedding, for Context API, and putting them in sort of one central place, and adding things like the social graph for a specific user. So I can add Brian's profile, and Brian's friends, and then Brian's friends' profiles, and so forth.
So I can build
as well as activity streams, because there's now activity streams, and that's like, you know, Facebook's news feed is considered an activity stream. So you being able to write that stuff.
Okay, so I can build an application, a website, a Windows Forms app, or a WPF app, whatever, that starts to, like, I could build my own Messenger client if I wanted to, sounds like.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little tricky. One is they haven't released the Messenger Connect API. So just to be clear, this is the exact tagline from OriAmiga is, you know, we released it to limited partners. Is you can get this information, but you can't do the IMing part, and using the IM part is a thing that, for whatever reason, they just haven't allowed you to say build your own Messenger client.
Okay. Well, they have to monetize it somehow. But what I could do is, for example, build an app that said Dan's online. You know. Do you want to start a chat session with Dan, and then it launches into IM? That's what I could do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and you can also have do sort of the implicit thing where Dan's installed this application, and now this application, let's say, I don't know, whatever it is, SportsScore is my favorite sports team. The Caps is saying, you know, Caps fail big time against the Canadians, and that update comes in my activity stream in Messenger.
Yeah, sorry about that, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's I was going to wear a veil today, so.
All right. So, essential async skills.
Yeah, so yeah. Pete Brown, who we assume is still alive, probably bunkered in his basement.
Yeah, after we pointed out that you could reverse engineer one of his previous samples to actually find his house. So
yeah.
Hope you're doing okay, Pete. Looks like you're still blogging. So
yeah.
I'm assuming the food and the water's getting through.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully he's got garlic and a cross for some of our viewers.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, we're big in vampires. So the moral of the post is really for .NET developers, maybe you've been doing Windows Forms apps or been doing ASP.NET, sometimes you didn't have to deal with a certain level of complexity for things like asynchronous programming.
Right.
Or even if you did do asynchronous programming, like you did the begin response, end response for web services, it's actually different for things like Silverlight, where instead of that you have a void, and then you have the method returns automatically, and then you have to have a delegate type that returns the results.
Okay.
And sign up for that handler. So there's a number of things you need to know in terms of asynchronous programming. Other things like background worker that have been around actually probably since 2005 that people should get to know in terms of programming. That dispatcher, which is the thing that basically allows you, if something returns on a background thread, you can send it to the UI thread and so forth. So it's kind of like your cheat sheet of things you probably are going to need to know for Silverlight, WPF, and asynchronous programming.
So this is an onboarding if you haven't been doing this before. Like, welcome to async, specifically for Silverlight and WPF.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Sounds good. And so here's an interesting one. Why is Windows named Windows? And also, it's not reflected in the title of this post, but why is Microsoft Word named Microsoft Word?
So, yeah.
This is part of the really interesting series that Laura Foy looks at every week, and it's kind of interesting to look at the names that were proposed for Microsoft Windows, and I think the one they call out here is Microsoft Interface Manager. Like, really? Like, that's bad.
Yeah.
And also, what was the other one?
Multi-tool word.
Yeah. So
you're a multi-tool.
No, you're a multi-tool. Anyways, thank goodness someone stepped in and actually simplified these names to make
just Word and Windows.
Exactly.
Jeff Rakes actually had another interesting one, which was to call it Microsoft Desktop.
Oh,
I think Desktop would have worked as a product name.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Possibly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Who knows?
Yeah, but I love these little things. In fact, this is why I love Channel 9. The person who actually did the name commented, and the name's escaping me now.
Laura
had mentioned them in the video, and they actually went in and commented and gave sort of like the backstory about what was going on and all the people involved in that stuff.
Oh, really
cool. Which
is
so cool. So
nice.
That's like classic Channel 9.
Yeah, definitely. Conversation lives. So this is a post that we've been talking about for a long, long time. And
yes,
you, now that I was out of your hair for a few weeks, you finally got around to actually writing it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Dan and I, we come from the marketing world, and so we had to really be constrained by branding guidelines and all the different style and usage guidelines that define how you talk about Microsoft products and technologies. And so it's just been burned into our brains about, you know, .NET is always in capital letters, for example, and IntelliTrace and IntelliSense is capital I, capital S, or T. And the problem is that if you're not, you know, within CorpNet, and you can't get access to some of the style guides that live within our corporate network, you may not know what to trust. If you look at one book or one blogger, like even I've seen, you know, even
I've seen VPs.
VPs, yeah, that
spell that, products incorrectly.
Exactly.
Or capitalize them incorrectly.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you've put together a really nice definition.
Yeah, so
guide.
That way you can call out those executives and make them feel bad about themselves.
That's really what this is all about at the end of the day.
Well, it's also for book publishers.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of other people where it's like, how do I capitalize this? How do I do the spacing?
Yep.
Even other products like SharePoint, I can't imagine how many times that's actually spelled incorrectly.
Right.
It's capital S, capital P.
And it's more than us just being anal, because at the end of the day, like, if everyone's doing it correctly, then it should help with search engine optimization as well. So, you know, definitely take a look at this and maybe go back and update some of your old posts.
Yep.
Yep. Cool. Babel Obfuscator. So
this is Andy Bellalou.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
we're talking about this. Yeah.
Well, Andy Bellalou's blog post.
Oh, okay.
About the Babel Obfuscator, which has a free version.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you can actually throw this at some code. And so normally when you're doing a Silverlight app in Zap, somebody can reflect on your DLL and mm-hmm. get your code. May not want that to happen. Babel Obfuscator, the free version, what you can do is actually use something like 7-zip to re-zip it, but obfuscate the code, re-zip it, and then what you get is the before and after. And I'm not sure if we can, we'll force Michael to do a nice zoom in here, but you get the before and after, and those are basically, you know, unreadable characters for all those different names.
Yeah, so the other tool that does this is Preemptive's Dotfuscator as mm-hmm. well, which I think most people that have Visual Studio probably have the free community edition of Dotfuscator. So that's another option for you as well. So nice
this,
to see.
Yeah, this is the, you know, I have Express and no free version.
Yep, exactly. So that's cool. So, it doesn't make it impossible for someone to reverse engineer your code, because it's at the end of the day, it's all stored as MSIL. But it makes it much, much, much harder than if they were to get the actual, like, method names you're using and variable names and all these
sure.
hints to actually understand what's going on.
Sure.
Yep.
Oh, huh?
Ah, you're going too fast. So Visual Studio 2010, obviously rewritten most of the UI in WPF, and one of the nice things about that is that you can easily apply color schemes and styles and all sorts of different stuff.
You could do that stuff before.
Well, but it makes it much easier. The degree to which you can control the UI.
Yeah.
What?
The colorization, most of that stuff is editor stuff.
Okay, then why is this important?
I think it's important just in terms of, and you know, there could definitely be new and exposed things, but I think the important part is this is like the dude that takes the time to rename and recolor all those things. He can now easily share them in one place and discover cool themes. Like, I really like the idea of me not having to take one and you can find out which one the community really likes, and mm-hmm. using that one as sort of the color.
I want to see them evolve around, like, college football teams, like University of Florida. Like, here we go.
I have a personal hatred towards pink and purple. So, like, I don't know why, but some people, like, John Papa just posted his, and he uses pink for Regents, and it just, there's something really wrong with me, I think.
Wow.
I gotta take his, just change that to something else, and then go.
Exactly. Huh. Interesting. So anyway, one place to share everything, because I actually asked you before the show, why isn't this just part of MSDN Code Gallery, and they actually don't do this type of artifact.
Yeah, the Code Gallery is really for, like, in the extension manager stuff, so.
Right.
But, I mean, maybe they could.
Yeah. RSS feeds in ASP.NET MVC. So this is a great sample app that walks you through how to build RSS feeds for your website. And
Yeah, so, you know, the big thing is to look at the service model.syndication libraries instead of sort of doing the roll your own and building your own RSS item and feed item and all that stuff. But here's how to do it in MVC.
Okay, nice.
Yep.
30 pure CSS effects, so this is just another one of those roll-up, like, smorgasbord. If you're doing CSS, what are you going to argue?
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. And we might as well get to the card, which is we had these built for our team. This is the I'm not arguing that with you card. And, of course, the rat hole. These should be required at Microsoft for meetings. I can't tell you how many times I've used them just this week.
And a rat hole, if you're not familiar with the lingua franca at Microsoft, is basically like when you're going down, like what we're doing right now. It's not adding any value to the show whatsoever.
Nothing to do with 30 pure CSS effects.
We're just going off down this path, and so basically I can throw the rat hole, and now we'll get back on track.
Yeah, plus, I mean, the World Cup's coming soon, so you can like kind of have them here.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Yeah, these are dual purpose. Fantastic.
Yes. You know, yellow's all right. Red is, you know, you're out of the meeting.
That's true.
Which may be a good reason to rat hole.
And you know, applying yellow and red is another thing you can do with CSS, which all brings it back together.
Yes. So the other cool part about this is beautiful links and the demos, right? So you can kind of see the demos in action because there's like, you know, the timeline and all this other really cool effects. So check them out.
Nice.
It's a good favorite.
Picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Of the week. This is really cool. I like this.
Yeah, you made fun of it. Okay, great. So Arian Culp wrote a cool coding for fun application, and you know it's nice and simple. It's using his MEF utility runner, which is managed extensibility framework. Just because coding for fun has so many of these different utilities that sit there, this just makes it really easy to manage running a utility. But the point of this one is to use the Windows 7 sensors on location, so it'll find out where you are, and then what it can do is use Flickr, call Flickr's API to say where are you, and actually retrieve images based on your local area. So like wherever you're going, your wallpaper will automatically update based on your location.
Wow, that's really cool. You know what'd be freaky?
Yeah.
Is if I was sitting outside of your house with a telephoto lens, I took a picture, uploaded it to RSS, to Flickr rather, and then it showed up on your desktop. What would you do?
With a target sniper?
Yeah, exactly.
Last updated, you put the time in there, it's like, wow.
Nice.
Yeah, no, that's kind of scary.
That's cool, though. I like that.
I thought we were only threatening Pete Brown.
No, we're all inclusive here. And so my pick of the week is TFS 2010 Power Tools are available. This is actually the quickest that I can remember that we've made the Power Tools available so soon after the release. And the Power Tools basically augment functionality that didn't ship in the product. Part of the reason we do that is that some of these things we like to iterate on much more quickly than we would iterate on the main release. One of the things that you'll definitely want to check out if you're using older versions of Visual Studio or even older IDEs than that, like VB5, is you want to go out and get the MISCII provider for TFS 2010. That's what allows you to connect from some of these other IDEs back to TFS, even IDEs that shipped before TFS was even around. But then there's other power tools in here as well.
The crazy part that I was just looking at was the build extension power tool. So what that allows you to do is if you're using, say, Ant or Maven, and this is like Martin Woodward area.
He worked on this, absolutely, yeah.
Maven 2, some of these are Java tools or things like JUnit. You can actually publish them in your build system.
So, exactly, yeah.
So it's, everybody getting along.
Yep, and some of that stuff has actually been around for a while. Martin published that when he was back over at Team Prize, and then once we acquired Team Prize and brought Martin over, now that's migrated its way into the power tools. So with that, I think we are now starting to rat hole. And
I'm not arguing that.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.